Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word, or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
Book is fucking dumb.
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. This is the last episode of season 3 with the theme pen pals. And we'll be diving back into it with the Bridgerton series, number 5, To Sir Philip with Love by Julia Quinn. And we have Danny with us to discuss. Hello, Danny.
Hello.
Have you been reading anything else lately?
I'm reading The Winter King right now.
What's that?
So it was a book talk recommendation. It's a romantasy. I'm going to describe this poorly. This girl who has like storm powers, it's kind of like this daughter. I guess her mom died with her, like in childbirth or something. I forget. But the dad always blamed her for his wife's death. And so she was always kept hidden and stuff. And she had like 3 other sisters. The Winter King was like, hey, Summer King, I'm going to marry one of your daughters and they're going to give me an heir in return. Oh. And like he's got some snow powers and he's scary and stuff. But then they trick him into marrying the daughter that the king least liked. And so there's a lot of steamy stuff and family secrets and gossip in the court and magic powers and stuff. So it's a long book, too. It's like 20 something hours. Oh. But I'm enjoying it.
So there's a book. I'm sure you've seen the cover. It was everywhere. It's called My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
Sounds familiar.
It's fucking weird. It's like It's one of those being weird for the sake of being weird.
Okay.
Kind of books. Yeah. So basically this lady, she's in her 20s. I think she's like in her mid 20s. Basically, she decides that she's going to take off a year to just sleep.
That is wild.
It's a lot. But I was never not entertained by it. And it's like, she's basically just talking about her day to day, trying to sleep as much as possible and doing crazy shit on meds.
I was going to say, what's the tone of the book? Is it meant to be like a dark humor
or like a
satire or something?
Yeah, I think it's like satire. It's supposed to be darkly funny. It's just a what the fuck book, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get into drinks. Danny, what drink did you pick to go with this book?
I got it's technically a sparkling soft drink. It's Belvoir Farm Elderflower and Rosé Lemonade.
Ooh.
It's like kind of like a sparkling water, but more of a soda-y version of it. It's light and refreshing. You know, he works in the garden a lot, so I wanted something floral.
# plant daddy.
Yep. What are you drinking?
So obviously tea, obviously, maybe with a shot or two of whiskey in it to put up with certain characters in this book. They were a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's not often when you want to throat punch both main characters.
Yeah. Foreshadowing. Hint, 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 hint. Okay, and then obviously the snack, the pastries. They always have their little cookie and sandwich trays.
Absolutely.
And about the author. This is the 5th go round with Julia Quinn. I'm not doing it again.
She's no stranger.
She's no stranger. This is the 5th book from Julia Quinn. I've gone over all her details in other episodes. So we're just gonna move right along to the Brazen Book Report. Danny, your face. Oh God. Okay. How would you summarize this book?
I did it short and sweet this time. Eloise slides into her cousin's widow's DMs, and after corresponding for a while, she decides to risk her reputation and show up on his doorstep when he hints at the idea of marriage.
Hmm.
How would you describe this lovely novel?
Ew. There were so many times listening to this that I said ew.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times, several times. But other than ew, Bad bitch spinster Eloise turns doormat over some letters and pressed flowers from an idiot with anger management issues.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. We're coming out swinging, guys.
Can't wait for the new season. Gonna be so uncomfortable.
They got their work cut out for them, man. Because a lot of people are saying they're gonna be doing Penelope and Colin also, or setting up Eloise and Philip.
I was wondering how that was gonna work, because last time we saw Marina, she was alive and
miserable.
Miserable. And in this book, they say what happens to her. She tries to drown herself in a lake or pond on the property. Philip sees her, rescues her, but then eventually she just succumbs to, she probably got like, what, pneumonia or something. She just like got a fever and just didn't recover. Her will to live wasn't, trigger warning, suicide. Like, she just was just unhappy.
And they also didn't have antibiotics.
She suffered in life and then she didn't want to suffer anymore. And so in the book, she dies and we know what happens to her. So they're going to have to kill her character off in the show somehow.
I think they're just going to say like, oh, she caught her death. Like, she caught a cold. They're going to say that. And then maybe once Eloise gets over there and starts talking to Philip, or we get his point of view in the show, it's going to talk about more in depth what happened. So it's going to be essentially off page, off scene.
Well, and I wondered if they had already set something up, because, there's a point in one of the seasons where they think she's Lady Whistledown because of how many letters that she's writing. So do we know if she's been writing? She's been writing just letters to people, I guess, anyway. They're not to him, right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Marina. You're talking about Eloise?
With the letters that she's writing, it's not to him, right?
See, okay, so here's the thing. This is why it would be kind of weird, or I don't know the word. It would be kind of odd if the letters were being written to Philip, but she's having a relationship with, what's his face?
Theo.
Yeah, see, you can already tell the show's going to go in a different direction. I know we're off on a tangent, but we're going with it. Welcome. Yeah. Because I don't know if this will come up again.
Well, because in the book, their correspondence just starts off as sorry for your loss. And it's just very cordial. There's nothing romantic about it.
Okay, yeah. So in the show, she's writing all these letters. Marina had, unless I missed it, no one has even mentioned offhand that Marina has passed. So technically, she shouldn't be writing letters to Philip yet. Or what they're going to do is she passed off screen. No one talked about it. And she's going to have an offhand remark in the next season when they're like, why are you writing all these letters? Who are you writing them to? And then she'll probably be like, oh, well, cousin Marina passed. I'm writing to her widow. Something like that. But also, I don't know who the fuck she's writing to. It could be a platonic correspondence just talking about him seeing the world, which, isn't really done back then. Like, if you're writing letters to someone, typically, like, it's just going to be considered a love letter. But it could very well be platonic between them now, and that would explain why she and Theo are having a thing. And then once it doesn't work out with Theo, Marina passes, then the letters turn romantic, and she just goes off and meets him to see if they suit. But another thing with the show, they've already set it up to make Philip less, what's the word I want to use? They've already set it up to where Philip won't look as much of a piece of shit than he does in the book. In the show, I believe Marina was pregnant with his brother's child. His brother died in war and she was pregnant, and that's why she was trying to trick Colin into marrying her really fast. And then that all blew up and Philip showed up to, quote, do the right thing and married her himself so that she would be under his protection, because he assumes that's what his brother would have wanted. So he's doing the right thing. Such a great guy. So they've already set it up that she was pregnant with his brother's child. So that's not his child. Although, are there two kids running around? I don't know.
I think she has twins in the book.
She has twins in the book, but I don't know about the show. So it's not his child or children. They
were his brothers. So that is going to explain the disconnect between him and the kid or kids.
Yeah.
Not like in the book where they're actually his children and he doesn't know how to be a
father.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to be a father at all. So he just avoids them because that's the mature, responsible answer. So they're being smart about it. They're already making little changes here and there to help him out.
Well, plus, like, the whole timeline of things is going to be interesting to see how they play that out, because the whole thing that kickstarts this book off is that Penelope and Colin get engaged and get married, and Eloise's whole thing is like, I thought we were going to be spinsters together, I'm getting left behind. And so that's why she's like, listen, he mentioned marriage once in a letter, and I'm just gonna see what happens. I'm gonna put myself out there, like, I don't really know this. It's just funny because she's like, I don't really know this man. It's like, well, you've been corresponding for a year, so you know him at least a little bit. But yeah, like, it's a pretty bold move. In the show, the last we've seen is they get into a fight because she finds out that she's whistled down, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you've talked about my family. Like, it's because in the books, when everyone finds out, it's like, oh, Penelope, how clever. And in the show, it's like, nah, it's not cute. Like, you've been writing about everybody in the town. Like, this is dangerous games that you're playing with people's lives. And so Eloise gets rightfully upset, and so, like, as it stands right now, they're not friends. But, you know, we know that this next season is going to be her story with Colin, so I could see if she's busy with Colin and Eloise and her are not talking, that could push her, could be like a, you know, the catalyst, kind of like how this book starts. So, and I don't know, there's a few ways they could go with it, but I'm wondering if they are gonna either start her in this season of the show, or if they are going to combine the two kind of happening at the same time. It would make sense if they did. It could work the way that they've already set it up.
Because, and they've also, they've tweaked the timeline, and they've altered the reason Eloise is off on her own doing this stuff is because she and Penelope had a fight, which makes a lot more sense. Oh, my best friend just stopped really talking to me as much because she married my brother, because that's kind of shitty. Yeah, I read the book, and I think we had talked about it, like, why wasn't Eloise in there more? We might have touched on that in that episode. It didn't make sense, as it would have been nice to have her friendship with Eloise spotlighted in that book. And then that's another thing, it's not spotlighted in this book either, so I feel like we were robbed of seeing this awesome female friendship in either of their books.
When they're supposed to be so close.
Yeah, so that was really, now that I'm thinking about it, that's odd.
We just got a lot of staleness, 90% of the book.
Yeah.
The new season's coming out in like a month and a half, so I'm excited.
I think I'm going to be on vacation when the new season comes out.
We'll just have to download it for the plane.
Were there any quotes you liked?
You know, when I was looking them up, there are actually a lot of good quotes from this book, which I was kind of surprised by, because when I was listening to it, I just couldn't get over some of the characters in this book. So, like, I missed some of the things that they were saying, like, actually, like, were very nice quotes. But the one that I did find that I thought was the best was, and I don't know who said this, so forgive me, but the best love stories are the ones that teach you how to be yourself without trying to change you.
That is a good one.
There was another one. God, there was something that Antony said to Eloise about, you know, taking the world on and stuff. He was very likable in this book, which I didn't want to like him, but like, he had more character growth in this book than he did in his own. So... I don't know what that says about the series, but yeah, he had some really nice things to say to Eloise, so I wish I'd written those down, but yeah. What about you? Any favorite quotes?
So I listened, and I, like you, I didn't pick up on many quotes while listening through, but this was a solid one. This was Eloise. Might be willing to commit violence for a ham sandwich. Relatable.
Yes.
Relatable. This is a dumb one, but this got an eye roll out of me. Philip and Eloise, they're getting ready to bone. and he's helping her undress. He's like unlacing her corset or something. Some torture contraption that women had to wear back then. So he's unlacing it and then basically gets to a part where, how do I say this? Her butt cleave, the top of her butt crack. Like, there's not a nice way to put it. So there's this moment where he's like, oh, she'll be so, I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember it. And he's thinking to himself, oh, she'll be so scandalized, so wicked, she's so innocent. Sir, being serious.
Yes, he was like, oh, I'm just going to do it or whatever. He was just like so excited about doing this thing to her. And I was like,
sir, come on now. I don't know. That stuck with me because I'm listening to it and this is happening. And I'm like, are you for real right now? Like, ooh. You know, I'm about to penetrate you. But yeah, like me kissing your butt cleave is so scandalous. Whoa.
He's not your average vanilla. He's that Madagascar vanilla extract.
Why is this even in the book?
He's that extra vanilla.
He really is. Philip had such a high opinion of himself throughout this book that moment was just so ridiculous to me. I was like, really, dude? Wow. Shocking. She's going to be so shook that you kissed her butt cleave. Whoa.
Like, she already got the scoop from, like, the maid at the house, so she knows. She knows what to expect, and that ain't it.
No. Philip just thought he was being so kinky.
Lady Whistledown's gonna write about this.
Not gonna give you a no going down on you. Gonna plow right into there. Gonna jackhammer it. Oh, but, you know, the real wild moment is gonna be me kissing your butt cleave. Get ready. Buckle up. God.
This is what I bring to the table.
There were a lot of quotes I didn't like. But we're probably going to be, those will be coming up throughout the book report. So
yeah.
I had a quote that I forgot. I take notes while I'm listening. So I actually took this note down and forgot until I went back and read over them just to kind of brush up on the book. So at one point, Eloise is having like a life crisis, basically. Like, oh, everyone's off getting married. I thought I was never going to get married. Maybe I should get married too. And she, like you said, slides into Sir Philip's DMs. It's her, the widow of her cousin. And then she just up and decides to show up at his house to see if they would suit, to see if they should get married. Obviously, she's ruined if they don't get married now. And then Philip neglected to say he had to devil spawn, and then got mad at Eloise when her four brothers showed up, because she never mentioned having four brothers, which I think is probably less of an issue than mentioning you have two children that you're expecting her to care for and be your live-in nanny for. So, all that's happening, her brothers show up, beat Philip's ass, and demand that he marry her. And this is after, like, Eloise and Philip are going back and forth on it. They kind of can't stand each other for a good amount of time, and his kids are awful. Now they're essentially being forced into marrying each other, and Violet, Eloise's mom, shows up, or I think she goes and visits her mom, and her mom tells her basically like, oh, you can be kind of pushy. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the direct quote for this, but she's like, oh, you can be kind of pushy. Just don't push him. And my quote from my reading notes is Eloise's mom telling her not to push Philip when in reality, he needs to be pushed off a fucking bridge. I said it.
Yeah. Throw the whole man away.
All of it. The whole thing.
It's like, do you know your daughter? That is not possible for her. Why should she have to diminish herself so this man can tolerate her? Who, you know, for most of the book, he was off in the fucking greenhouse anyway. So like the few times she did open her mouth, it was too much for him. Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know if you guys could tell, we didn't really care for this book.
It should have been my favorite, because Eloise is my favorite, and I just expected so much more for her.
Ugh, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Mm-hmm. Just kidding. I'm mad. I'm mad too.
I'm mad
and disappointed.
Yes.
Double whammy. What was your favorite part?
So I liked that my cottage made another appearance. I just love that Benedict's house out in the country is like my cottage, that it still tickles me. There's a scene where they're all shooting and Eloise shows up. All her brothers are disappointed that she's there. And Philip's like, oh, why? And they're like, because she's freakishly good. And they all just like complain about how good she is without even trying. And I thought that was like a fun highlight for her personality. And I could see that playing out in the show if they did decide to include that scene. Yeah, I think that's it. What was your favorite part?
Let's see. Obviously, the Bridgerton brother beatdown of Philip. Very necessary. Very warranted.
Mm-hmm. Had it coming.
Oh, yeah. At the very end of the book, you find out that Eloise named her daughter that she ends up having with Philip. She named her Penelope after her bestie. That was really cute.
I forgot about that. That's sweet. Mm-hmm.
And then also, Eloise writes a letter for her daughter in the future, which I don't recall everything it says, but I just remember being, aw, it was cute. I like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, least favorite part. That's it. There's not much. All right. What was your least favorite part?
So I'll start with the generic overall. I feel like boring is going to be a harsh criticism, but it was kind of like a very slow paced book, which is ironic because this all happens kind of like in a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. They're corresponding for, I think they say like about a year. But ultimately she's like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? My friend's getting married and I'm alone. And this guy says something about marriage, so I'm going to go check it out. And then, like, she's only there for a couple days before her brothers show up, be like, where'd you go, sis? And she's like, I left a note. And like, you may have, but no one got it. And then they're there and she's staying. She goes with them to my cottage and then Philip's visiting her there, right? She can't stay with him. So they take her to my cottage because it's not that far away. And then that's when Antony's kind of deciding like if he's a suitable match or not, if they're going to go through with the marriage. They're kind of figuring out those arrangements. And then they get married. It's got to take the course of maybe like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And then they're not even married for that long. And then that's when like the thing with her nephew happens.
Yeah.
And he redeems himself a tiny bit, but not really. He just happens to have knowledge of what plants may save people's lives or not, but that's about it. That's like his best quality. For such a short amount of time, not a lot happens, and it's just very hard to sit with these characters during certain points of the book. Like, can we have something happen so we can like have a distraction from how awkward and uncomfortable this is and how terrible of a father he is?
Yeah, it's pretty bad when the shitty kids that give you the ick are more entertaining than the lead couple.
Yep. And you know, like the kids are, they're a piece of work, but then we find out why, because, you know, he's not a present father. It's like he didn't think anything about how to be a good husband or a good father. Obviously, Marina had, like Eloise even talks about when she was a kid, she was always melancholy. Like, it's just how she's was her whole life. And the book paints it as he was trying to be a good partner, but some really off-color things that he says or does in the book is like he really didn't handle that with care. And then to ice out his children, to have them with this Catholic nun type of nanny, and he just thinks everything's fine. And it's kind of fucked up when he does marry Eloise and he's like, okay, well, yeah, just handle it, whatever you think it's best. And she's looking to him for advice. He's just not present in any kind of way, and it really made me dislike his character. So he, you know, he was kind of overall a least favorite part.
You don't say.
I mean, that's not even getting into the part where he's talking about how he tried to sleep with his wife while she was alive, Marina.
That was so upsetting.
And, you know, she didn't say no. And it's like, read a room.
Well, no, he got mad that she wasn't enjoying it. And then he said that he got rough with her.
That's right.
He raped her.
Even worse than I remember. God.
Yeah, no, like, he raped her. He knew she wasn't enjoying herself. She didn't say no because she can't.
Wasn't she just kind of very, like, limp or something?
Starfish. She was starfishing.
I'll be honest, like I said, I don't remember a lot about this part. I probably blocked it out because it was just...
What the fuck?
Like, it made me nauseous, like, reading it.
It was disgusting. Like, what?
For this period, this era, I'm sure that was very common for women not to enjoy themselves in the bedroom, and they were just there to have babies. I don't know. It was just, it made me really not like him.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are my least favorite parts. What were yours?
Here we go. So we touched on Philip not wanting to be a father at all. Just, he acted like it was an inconvenience to be expected to have anything to do with his own children. But then, to add on to what you were saying about him not really being a father and expecting other people to do it, when Eloise did try to step in and help after he pretty much said, oh, deal with it, he got mad. He would get mad. I think there were multiple times throughout the story where Eloise would try to do something in regards to the kids, and he would just fly off the handle and be like, these are my children. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You talked about you wanted to get married to essentially have a live-in nanny that had to be happy 24/7. Philip wanted his cake and to eat it too. He wanted it both ways. And that is not how it works. I don't recall exactly the instances where this would happen. There were multiple ones. And it's just bullshit because the whole time he wanted to marry someone, not to be in love with them, not to have any kind of relationship. He wanted a wife to nanny his kids, basically, and accept all his sexual advances and be happy all the time. Not like the person he married is a real life human being with the full range of emotions that they're not allowed to feel, apparently.
No, it's just at his convenience.
I'm so confused as to how we're supposed to like his character at all. And it wasn't just the hypocrisy with, do you want to be a parent to your kids? Do you not want to be a parent to your kids? It was the fact that he boiled a wife down to being an at-home nanny that he could fuck whenever he wanted, essentially.
And that just, like, be on his own all day. Like, he didn't want to be bothered. He was always in the greenhouse. So not even trying to form any kind of connection.
No. But they were supposed to accept all his sexual advances at his whim. What? After they've been caring for your devil spawn all day? Are you kidding me? They're going to be exhausted.
Yeah, and his temper was...
One of the biggest things. The fact that he vilified and demonized his ex-wife for having such severe depression and attempting to take her own life. It was horrifying. This is from Philip about Marina. It was depressing being with Marina, but he wouldn't shirk his duties. Really? Like, you really didn't have to marry her. Philip constantly referred to Marina as a burden, and I'm sure that came across loud and clear to her, which probably didn't help at all. It wasn't just Philip. Like, Eloise made comments about, oh, she was, you know, oh, well, Marina was so melancholy even as a kid. Okay, so what? Like, did anyone try talking to her about it? Did anyone... You know, and I think they might have talked about, like, oh, she never said anything. And it's like, depression's hard. Like, depression is a really difficult thing to go through. And it does alienate you sometimes. And you will isolate yourself. And it's not just that. So before she attempted, Philip had all these comments about her melancholy mood. And he just dismissed the whole thing. Like, yeah. I don't think he ever tried to talk to her about it. He just dismissed the whole thing. She was originally engaged to his brother, and then he died. She got tossed down the line to the next brother, which was common in those times. Yeah. But that doesn't mean she has to be happy about it. And if she's kind of a melancholy person to begin with, like, she may just be stoic. She may not be out, like, super outward and effusive with her feelings. And there's nothing wrong with that. But just the fact that everyone had something bad to say about her, even her own kids. Like, at the end of the book, the second epilogue is Amanda, one of the twins. I forget what the boy's name is, but it's the girl twin, Amanda. And she's writing a letter to somebody and essentially says that she wishes her mother would have killed herself sooner and gotten it over with. It was alarming. Yeah. It was my least favorite part of this book because it was so shitty and disgusting. With that kind of attitude, I think Philip was her 11th reason and the kids were her 12th and 13th.
Honestly, growing up and seeing how your parents are when you're a kid and then now being an adult, like you're their age that they were at that time, like you can be like, oh, I get it now. Or, you know, you kind of understand life and you interpret memories a little differently. And it's just like for her daughter to grow up and not be able to empathize or recognize any of her mother's struggles, like one, she was probably young enough so that she may not remember everything or only remembers things a certain way. Yeah. And then if her father is giving her that confirmation of through his lens of that's how things really were, like she's just going to, it sounds like she has this warped view of like, I remember my mom being really depressed. And then him being like, oh, yeah, she fucking sucked. Of course she's going to be like, yeah, I wish she would have done it sooner.
It was awful. But yeah, least favorite part, Philip as a whole, I think we can both agree on that.
Yes. Yep.
What the fuck moment?
Definitely the way that Philip handled Marina's mental illness in the bedroom. We talked about that. It was a big what the fuck moment.
Ew.
Another one was... And we talked about this too, how he didn't mention his kids in the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just spring that on someone. That makes you so questionable. Like, that's not something you should hide. It just, the whole approach with it was just sketchy. Like, he just always had some kind of like ulterior motive, was hiding the truth on things, just not very truthful with things when it should have mattered. And then when Eloise went to her brother's house, they had like a fight or something, and she's like, all right, well, I'm just gonna go to my brother's house, whatever. And then she doesn't go home because turns out her nephew is really sick.
Yeah.
And she's letting them get some rest and she takes care of her nephew overnight. And then he just shows up and is all like, what the fuck? Where's my wife? And it's like, okay. And his whole thing was he was expecting her. There was some weird inner monologue about how hopefully she was dead in a ditch somewhere versus like something else and being like, what?
Yeah, no, she better be dead in a ditch and not just avoiding me. And it's like, what in the actual fuck, sir?
Yeah, it's like of all the scenarios and ways that this could play out, like that's what you're hoping for. Those few interactions really shed a lot of light on his character. I mean, he was just kind of like a what the fuck. So
yeah,
those were mine. What were yours?
We already talked about the bedding scene with Marina. Awful, terrible. I have no idea why that was in this book. What the fuck? Like, I think it was to highlight his anger issues and how he was aware of his anger issues, but it's like, you could have done it another way. You didn't have to do it like that.
Right? Have him punch a wall and be like, oh, yeah. I punched walls when I'm mad, and it's like a visual reminder of my bitchiness. Like, I don't know.
And come to think of it, people are like, she should have been a better mother to her kids, and da-da-da. They're a product of rape. Did you?
There could have been detachment.
Yeah, like, just like how she detached herself in the bedroom, which she obviously didn't want to be, like, who knows if she even wanted to have kids, and she was forced to do it, and it's like, okay, and she was probably doing it to maybe try to protect this, whatever sanity she had.
And, like, here's a crazy thought. So, she obviously had some kind of depression.
Yeah.
Now, throw on some postpartum depression on top of that. And that's something that, you know, we're still learning about, like in current times. So, you know, it obviously probably wasn't a as much of a thing then, but postpartum depression is a very real thing, and I really don't know much about it, but she could have been a whole different person afterwards, like even in a darker place than she was before. And to just, like you said, have that constant reminder of something terrible that happened to her, staring her in the face.
And I know some people are going to be like, oh, those were her children. She should have loved them. And I'm not saying she didn't love her kids. She did have something to do with them. I think, I don't recall really the story talking about like her and the kids. I think she was kind of distant with the kids too. But you're right. I didn't even think of postpartum. That makes total sense.
I mean, he obviously wasn't around. So would it really, I mean, there's plenty, like Queen Charlotte wasn't affectionate with her kids. So it also is not out of the ordinary that she wasn't around them all the time. If anything, the Bridgertons are kind of the weird family with how close they are, how close the parents were with their kids. So, I mean, maybe she wasn't around them and they didn't have a kind of attachment, but that shouldn't be a, like anything negative towards her, because he also wasn't around his own kids. So like, you can't even really say she was a bad mother, because that's kind of how it was.
Yeah. It just gets worse and worse. My other what the fuck, the Bridgerton bros show up, beat Philip's ass, and then after that, they're having a little hang sesh. Colin's got his snacks, and they're just kind of like chit-chatting at this point. So it comes up that there is a woman that works in a tavern nearby that happens to have big bazungas, and the fact that they would even bring this up, because this isn't modern day, and you can, oh, stop being a prude. This isn't modern day. This is back when, you know, men thought women needed a fainting couch for everything, much less talking about boobs in front of them. So not only were they discussing another woman's boobs in front of their sister, they were talking about these boobs to that sister's future husband. And then Gregory went as far as to ask him if he had slept with the woman in front of his sister that is about to marry this guy. What the fuck is wrong with you all?
Right, because it's not like, you know, a woman can't sleep around because then she's ruined, but like it's so casual, like, oh, did you just hook up with her? Like, how was it?
Disgusting! I was like, hold up. The four of you just showed up to give him the beat down for potentially ruining your sister, right? And now you're in here asking if he hooked up with someone else right in front of her, knowing that she has to marry him now. What?
Yeah.
What is happening? Red flags.
If your name is Philip.
Sorry to all the Philips listening. I know there's so many.
Someone who doesn't want to spend any time with their family. Kind of a red flag, you know? Someone who says they want to marry you just so you could take care of their children. It's kind of a red flag. You know, just casual disregarding of your feelings, anger issues, you know, all that stuff. What about you? What red flags did you notice?
Well, I think I have all of yours. Let me see if I need to add any. Oh, blames everything on his ex. Pissed off at his dead ex-wife. Has temper tantrums. Is rude to staff.
That was another thing.
Yeah, I forgot. I actually meant to bring this up in my least favorite part on him being disrespectful. It wasn't just to women like and other men. Like it was to his staff and other people's staff. Terrible. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
Don't rush into things.
no way.
Let's take a minute and think about things, and, you know, maybe meet the person in person a few more times before we just jump right into ruining ourselves.
Yep. Just a thought.
Just a thought. Jinx, you owe me your soul.
Joke's on you. I don't have one.
Me either.
We gotta get out of here.
Can't take us anywhere. What about you?
I agree with yours. Also, mental health is serious.
Yep.
You do not treat people with depression like this. God, it was awful. Mental health is something to be taken seriously. And also, I just want anyone to just take a look at Philip. Just look at everything he did, you know, like make a little mental list of it and tell yourself, this is how I act if I do not want someone to marry me. This is how I act if I want to be a giant piece of shit. Don't be Philip. That's the lesson. Don't be Philip. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
How do I put this? Be kind of like with the other books. The show's character of Eloise is better than the books. Like, I hate mm-hmm. that this keeps happening with every book, because I just keep thinking, all right, this character is likable. I'm really going to like this book. Like, I really thought I was going to like Colin's book and Benedict's book, but they were just so unlikable. And Eloise, I thought, for sure, our girl is going to shine in her own book. And she really didn't. Mm. She was not necessarily unlikable. Those qualities were still there. You know, she's yeah. very witty. At one point, Philip's like, I didn't think I would ever meet a woman who terrified me, but I am married to the one woman who scares the shit out of me.
Good.
You should be scared. The way that her story starts with Penelope gets married and she's like, I'm a spinster on my own. I don't want to get left behind. She just came across as very flighty and thoughtless. And she tolerated a lot of his bullshit, which ooh, I feel yeah. like she wouldn't mm-mm. in the show. And just the way that she left to go to his house, like I think that she would do that in oh, the show. For sure. But I think yeah. it would be more of she would think of a way to sneak out so that she wouldn't. She did that in the book, but she would have planned more. Like, this would have mm-hmm. been going on longer so that other people wouldn't have found out so soon. Like, it would have come across as more impulsive and something she really wanted versus, well, I don't want to be the only one who's not married.
And I feel like even if she didn't and it went down the way it went down in the book, her brother showing up and everything, she would definitely put up more of a fight.
Yeah.
She just kind of, in the book, she's so toned down, and I thought she was supposed to be one of the more assertive, kind of spunky characters,
like very and, sharp.
Yeah, and they talk about how clever she is, and it's so weird. Some of the parts I enjoyed most in the book were scenes of her trying to outsmart and outprank the kids, because it showcases her personality, her being mischievous and clever. And I feel like you don't really get to see that in a lot of other aspects of the story. It's just her being like, oh, you know, Philip is being completely disrespectful to her. And she just sits there and takes it. Like, obviously not every time. She does defend herself every once in a while, but not nearly as much as like her character on the show would.
And she questions herself a lot. And yeah. like, she usually charges into things head on, and she just felt a little more reserved in this.
Yeah.
I still like her.
We saw the show before we ever read the books. So we had this idea of how her character was going to be. So basically, yeah. it just seems that the show takes the characters and amplifies the positive aspects of them, which
thank
is
you, Shonda.
Yeah. Like, which is what you're going to do, obviously. I do think the inspiration was definitely there with Eloise's character, which I do yeah. appreciate, but I just wish it were, she was a bit more assertive, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, like, you know, with the whole storyline with Theo, like, she was trying so careful.
Yeah.
She was being so careful to have this other life, secret life that she wanted for herself.
Yeah.
And she was very careful with it. And I feel like in the book, she was just like, I'm just going to leave a note and hopefully everything will be fine. Yeah. And this will all work out. And it's like, it was just such a short-sighted plan. And I feel yeah. like that wasn't like her.
No.
So that was my spicy snippet. What was yours?
Fuck Philip and fuck this book. This is my least favorite. It really is. And you know what? Fuck them kids too. Yeah, they're kids. They don't understand stuff. Da, 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 da. And then by the end of it, the daughter's talking about how Marina should have killed herself sooner. Ah, fuck you too.
But I mean, even like the kids were bad, but they knew it. Like, they just, there was a little bit of vindictiveness in there. Like,
oh, yeah.
They weren't completely innocent. Like, the prank that they played on Eloise, they tripped her. And I think, didn't she, like, roll her ankle? Or she got covered in flour? Or, you know, they just...
She rolled her ankle, I think. And at one point, the son shoved her.
Yes, like their pranks were not harmless. It wasn't like kids being like, get out of here, lady. We don't want a mom. They were like
violent.
Like Dennis the Menace level of children.
Mm-mm.
Like, you're going to boarding school. That's where you're going.
Yeah. Fuck Philip. Fuck them kids. And fuck this book. That is my spicy snippet.
All agreed.
Right. Speed round. Who would you want to be friends with and why?
Sophie.
Oh, yeah.
She just, like, she was just kind of, like, there in some of the scenes and, like, reading a book or whatever. It's like, yeah, I want to hang out with her. Yeah. I just want to be in the corner reading a book with Sophie. She's,
laid
like, chill.
Laid back, chill times.
Who would you be besties with?
Marina, because goddamn, did she need a friend? Oh, it's basically, it just seemed like she was depressed. And people, if they even acknowledged it at all, it was basically the whole, just don't be depressed. Stop being sad.
Take a deep breath.
Like, what? Who do you want to throat punch and why?
Philip.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Philip. His children.
Mm-hmm.
Eloise at points. Definitely wish she wouldn't have jumped the gun on that. Her brothers, especially Gregory.
Ugh.
Like pretty much almost every character in this book, this one. Everyone just like pissed me off at some point. And I was just like, just a quick little like jab, like, oh, stop it.
Yep.
But mostly Philip.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you want to throw a punch?
It's same. I have no notes. I have nothing to add. It's basically the same as yours. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
This one might surprise you. Anthony, he really came through in this one, you know?
He did.
He gave Eloise some really good guidance, because he even talked about how he's like, you know, I didn't love my wife at first. And, you know, we made our marriage, like, he was just there for her and, you know, and literally came in swinging when, you know, to defend her honor and stuff. So he was good in this one. Who would you want on your side in a fight?
I went with the Bridgerton bros minus Gregory, because he was a little shit.
Yeah.
Because I think he's younger than Eloise.
Yeah, he is.
EFG. Yep, he's younger than Eloise. And he was just like, I'm a man now. Go put your pull-up back on. Shut up.
I was going to say, you just got your first pubic hair. Sit down.
Oh. He's in pull-ups. He has one pube. Have a seat.
Like, you haven't even seen a boob yet. Like, get out of here.
Oh my god. Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiacs?
Well, I think the characters are cast well, so I try to do zodiacs, but then, like, now I'm questioning, you know, and I was looking this up earlier, I was like, oh yeah, I could see this about this character. So definitely for Eloise, I put her as Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
The thingy that I looked up was like a deep thinker with a humanitarian streak. An Aquarian has grand plans to change the world, which is very much Eloise, you know, to a T. If we go by what I'm thinking the show's going to do with Philip, because I just hate his character so much. Mm. I put him as a Taurus, loyal but stubborn, loyal to a fault. Taurian is the most reliable person you can have in your corner when his chips are down. However, they have a stubborn streak a mile wide and can hold a grudge like no one else, so make sure you don't cross them. So, like, minus the loyal part, he's the very much the other half of Taurus.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, like, I'm Taurus, I don't want to give Taurus a bad name. I don't want really want to associate them with Philip, but going through, like, the different at least on this website, which I forget. It's Vogue. It's an article, but that's how they described some of the signs. So those are the two that I went with.
All right.
What about you? Did you cast or do zodiac signs?
I did neither because I could not be bothered.
Nice.
I hated this book and I just didn't want to spend more time on it.
Yeah.
Also, I do like the casting. Eloise, I love, 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 love her. and Philip. He's doing a good job with the material he's been given thus far. He has come across as kind of a likable nerd.
Yeah, kind of aloof, but yeah. Still cares.
Yeah, just like a socially awkward, likable nerd guy.
Yeah.
That's what he's coming off as in the show. And I think that's what he was supposed to be coming off as in the book, and that did not hit, so.
No.
All right.
He's almost giving, like, neck beard, like, I haven't gotten laid in 8 years. Sorry.
It's a for me. Oh my god. Just every woman should just fall at my feet. I'm such a catch. Catch me outside in this greenhouse and not anywhere near my children. What reality show would these characters be on?
Got a good one for this one. Love is Blind.
Oh my god, same! I knew it! Spoilers for season 6 ahead. You might want to skip.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the reunion yet, please go watch it. Love is motherfucking blind, because turns out he didn't go into this experiment with the right intentions.
Ooh.
You know, he said he was ready for marriage, but wasn't.
All right, Clay.
Was hiding the fact that, you know, he, like, his real intentions for marrying were to have a wife for his children, not necessarily one for love. But yeah, you know, much like Trevor almost robbed Chelsea of a love match because he wanted fame. Turns out Philip was about to rob Eloise of a true love match because that's what she thought she was getting into, but not apparently for him. And just also the context of them writing letters and not have ever really met in person, kind of like Love is Blind. Like, they're conversing to each other without seeing the other person. So that when there is really is like a first reveal where he's like, who the fuck are you, girl on my doorstep? And she's like, I'm Eloise. We've been talking. And it's like, wow. Hey. Yeah, so that was my pick.
Same.
And you did as well. Nice.
Yep. That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're going to go high to low. Starting off with Joanna Loves Reading, 5 stars. I love this one. Possibly my favorite of the series and among my favorites altogether.
That's nice for you.
All right. Basic Aphrodite. 5 stars. This book was so cute. And I, all caps, loved the ending. Heart.
Glad someone did.
Yep. Stacy. Although that kind of was my favorite part at the ending with, like, naming her daughter Penelope and the letter she wrote her daughter. To be fair. Yeah.
There were some cute things in this.
But, you know, everything leading up to that was trash. Stacy gave it 4.5 stars. 4.5, the right one stars. I just adored this story. I am so happy for Eloise and Philip. Most especially Philip. He was such a broken-hearted sweetheart. Happy reading.
Did we read the same book?
I'm just gonna go on to the next review.
Just kidding. People are allowed to like things and not like things.
Yeah, like, agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Charity gave it 4 stars. Sir Philip irked me to no other. How does Julia Quinn write such selfish pigs and I still gobble this up like it is candy? Side eye emoji. Making valid points. Lindsay Dolling gave it 3.5 stars. This was a nice shot of birth control.
Yeah. Very long but effective birth control ad.
Oh, yeah. Valkyrie gave it 3 stars. When you're reading a romance and all you can think is why the protagonist would stay with that asshole for one more moment, you know the romance isn't working.
Yeah, we all wondered the same.
Kaylee gave it 2 stars. Couldn't get over the fact that they spent the whole novel demonizing a woman for having depression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Michaela, Books with Mick, gave it 2 stars. To Sir Philip, you suck and I hate you. Yep. Trace gave it 1 star. Fuck off, Sir Philip. Fuck off, fuck off, fuck off. Damn, didn't even add an Into the Sunset there or anything.
No, very strong feelings.
And finally, Hannah B gave it 1 star. To Sir Philip, with extreme and utter disgust. You're tacky and I hate you.
Yep.
quite a range, quite different. And now it is time for the bi-weekly boner. This week's boner is inspired from the source material, His Mighty Quill.
How suiting for a romance about love letters.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, how are we going to do it in a sentence?
I got nothing.
He won her over with his mighty quill. I don't know. I mean, did he though? Like, he was just kind of a fan of the jackhammer, you know what I'm saying? But hey!
Yeah.
Heck, some people like that. Not judging. I'm just saying, she was a virgin and he just like plowed in there. Probably not the best option for her. Just saying. Just a note. That's the pressed pickle for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll.
Oh, did you want to do like what we thought about the, like our star review?
Oh, fuck. I skipped it. I knew I was skipping something. Okay. Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol did you rate this book?
What was, what did you say the boner was? What did he call it? The feather quill?
The mighty quill.
The mighty quill. Okay. So I'll just stick with that. I'll just stick with the source material. I'm going to give it, two and a half mighty quills.
All right.
Just because I like Eloise. That's it.
Fair.
Yeah. How about you? How many mighty quills?
I'm going to give it one mighty quill because this was just not a good time. Like, again, fuck Philip. He ruined the whole thing. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
It was so disappointing because I really like Eloise's character, but it's just, she couldn't save it. Philip was just so bad.
Yep.
She couldn't even save it. And she was a good character. I didn't have too many problems. I didn't really have any problems with her character other than the whole, oh, my friend got married, even though I knew she wanted to get married the whole time. And I just thought she'd be a spinster with me forever to her detriment.
Yeah, and turned down proposals left and right. So, like, all of a sudden for her to want to not be the only one who wasn't married. I don't know.
That kind of goes against her wanting to be unique, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do with it in the show. We'll see.
All right. What should our question be?
If you had met Sir Philip in the pods, would you have picked him?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I like that one. All right. What should our poll be? Well, the show's not out, so we can't do book Philip versus show Philip.
Yeah. Dang, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I know.
There's just not a lot to go on from this book. Like, it was very one-dimensional, you know? Like, not a lot happened. And the stuff that did happen was very unlikable.
Yeah. You know what? We technically could do show Eloise versus book Eloise thus far.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I think the poll can be, do you prefer book Eloise or show Eloise so far? We did it.
We did it. We got through another one of these. Yeah. At least the Bridgerton was likable this time.
Yeah. It was a female. It was a woman. Yeah. Final episode of season 3.
Woohoo!
Which I've been trying to get it out, but I'm gonna go ahead and try to release Queen Charlotte with this, or like maybe the following week. Yeah, we did a bonus episode, a recap of Queen Charlotte a while ago, but I just haven't been able to get around to editing. But so I'll be releasing that shortly after this, maybe the following week. So wrapping up season 3, I will be returning in June. The format is going to be switching up a little bit. I'm going down to one episode a month, and they're going to be released on the 15th of every month. And as far as themes go, I have a trope tarot deck. Oh. So I'm thinking it's going to all be random. It's going to be trope by tarot. And the tarot deck is actually, I think it's Lila June Co. So I think I'm just going to use that and randomly draw a trope every month and find a book with that trope in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm going to switch things up a little bit. A lot has been going on, so I've kind of fallen behind on some things. You know, I'd like to keep going with the pod. I'm just going to have to make some adjustments So it'll be a little easier for me to keep up with.
Yeah.
But I will be coming back in June. I couldn't tell you what the theme is because I don't know yet. But yeah, it should be fun. It'll be a mystery. Nice. I like surprises.
Yeah.
All right. Join me back here in June for some more fun reads. Thanks for coming back, as always.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun talking about this book.
We are actually going to be back. I'll be posting a bonus episode once season 3 of Bridgerton comes out and we watch it. We'll recap it. Can't give you an exact time frame on that, but we'll see. Perfect. We'll see how it goes. And remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down. Doodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group, where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.